I've been doing this show for a long time. Probably, when did I start? 2008, I think it was, 2007 or 8. And it kind of like footsteps took me to this place where I'm at now. And, you know, I'm more than just the guy that does the show. We're all so many more things. But it's great to connect with people. I don't know who listens, but I got an email a while back, within the last couple of months, from a gal named Becca. And she said she wanted to reach out to me, enjoyed listening to what I had to say. And I think that's wonderful. It's better than hating what I have to say. So I said, well, hey, would you like to come on and just talk? Because I'm always interested in one, what people, why they listen, but also what do they have to say? I say this in every episode. If you want to share something, I think we can gain from every person on the planet. If they're, you know, if it's done also with love. I guess I don't want somebody coming on going, listen, I'm going to tell you, blah, 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 blah. Because I don't think any of us want to be around that energy. I know I don't. So we corresponded back and forth a little bit. Becca Kleba, who's from Detroit, Michigan, and she reconnected herself back in Michigan now and wanted to connect with me and connect with others. So I thought, okay. So here she is. She's in Gaylord, Michigan, actually, which is closer, and she's at, I guess, her parents' cabin. And it's Becca with us today. How you doing?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. As I was talking to you, I have a studio that's on the street, and there's a guy that rides his bike by it every day. And we all tried to wave at him because he looks a little grumpy, you know. And now he's walking by because there's snow. And this is weird, Becca. I don't know if it's the energy that we're putting out. He stopped and he looked in the window, and I was going to wave at him, but I didn't know what to do. It's like he just kind of looking around, and he's gone by this window so many times. And I don't know, maybe it's just the good energy that he stopped and it caught his attention. But Becca's with me from, like I said, Detroit area, now in Gaylord. You have a cabin in Gaylord? Your parents have a cabin there?
Yes, yeah, you know, with quite a bit of land, just on a lake. You know, it's my parents' dream their whole life to have a place like this. So it's just wonderful to see that come to life and to get to experience it myself.
That is awesome. So tell me about your life, if you don't mind, what it was like for you growing up. Do you want to share that at all?
Yes, sure. Yes. You know, I had a great childhood. My dad was building a huge empire from scratch. And so I got to, you know, be in the front lines experiencing that, which was awesome. And, you know, he and my mother did, you know, what they had to do to really work up. They had big dreams. And when they came together, it definitely, you know, manifested and unfolded from there. So I watched that and got to have that be the base of my knowledge and experience. And, you know, I always loved dance. I was a dancer since I was a kid, had big dreams in dance and all of that stuff. And, you know, so flash forward to, you know, around my 20s and getting out of high school, I just didn't want anything to do with college. So I did whatever I could to get right to California. That was always the dream. And my brother actually had lived in California before, and he was a dancer as well. So I got to really learn a lot from him. And so when I went to California, I mainly just trained and got a lot of knowledge in that area. And, you know, then a couple things unfolded and life kind of, you know, blew up in the best way as it does and set me on my true journey of, you know, spirituality and healing. And I was actually found an organization as SGI Buddhism in California. And that introduced me to chanting in a different type of practice. It ended up not being for me, but it was a wonderful door. And from there, I started studying intuitive healing with an amazing teacher named Catherine Schiff, and just kept going on the journey, then started studying natural health. From that turned into studying the endocannabinoid system. And so now I'm just finding the best path for it all and seeing how it really wants to be shared, and the information that has come to me is really special and helped me a lot. So I know that it can help other people at the right time.
That's fascinating. So would you say you've always been a spiritual person?
I would say so. I had a godmother who was actually like a fairy godmother at the time. She was just this mystical, magical, always smelled of beautiful incense and crystal jewelry and all that. And she, you know, she passed when I was fairly young, but I felt her, and that was my connection to realizing, you know, I wanted to be that magical. And I, you know, she was actually Hindu. She started studying, you know, Hinduism and was into that, and which is interesting that just now I've really been understanding more of that aspect. But yeah, so I think that started it from there. And my mom was always really open and spiritual herself. So it just had to unravel in my own life throughout my own life experience.
Now, you said that you're a professional dancer. That's how you make your living right now. But you may be branching out at some point, I guess, and these other. So what is it that you love about dancing?
You know, at first, I was just drawn to dancing, and I thought it was much smaller than now I realize that it is. But now, it's so much deeper as I've studied this amazing woman, Erica Sobel, had this program, and she's been, you know, she's been a maker, a creator, a dancer for years, and she put together this program with all of her best teachers from, you know, different areas, different, you know, Europe, all these big teachers. And when I went to California, I really went to go do that, and it just opened my eyes. It was the truth, the root of dance, kind of cutting down all the extra, you know, flashy stuff about it and just getting to the true depth of movement, so to speak. And that opened my eyes. So now I'm kind of, I'm in a different place than just being like an industry professional dancer, because I mean, I owe that also to spirituality. So I'm trying to find the connection of, you know, the whole thing, how it really plays a part, how it's really helping other people, and why do I want to do this? So it's just been a deep experience. So now I would say I'm drawn to it just because I wonder, why is my spirit so called? Because I don't know if I've found that answer yet as I'm on my journey. I'm sure it's, you know, it has. I've met people, I've, you know, it's, you know, it goes round and round. It's all connected.
Right.
But I think,
absolutely,
I think it's still to unfold. So I'm interested.
So do you believe in past lives at all? Are you open to that?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as you were talking, I was thinking, because this is so powerful in your life, that you've done this before and you know the power behind dancing and drumming and music and the ancient ways, which are really returning to all of us now, and actually how we can actually create and manifest by using, you know, the natives did, you know, when you were talking about that, I'm thinking, well, the natives did their dancing, and I think they were able to make it rain, and they were able to do a lot of different things. And so that's,
absolutely,
that's kind of like when you were talking about that. She's really passionate about this, and I think there's great power that we can all learn from. And there's also great joy, too. Don't you think in dancing, it's really it's a way of being artistic that can bring joy not to just ourselves, but to others as well?
Absolutely. It's definitely, you know, it's magic to move your body and feel the energy, or to release energy. You know, there's so much you can do with movement, or, you know, many movement practices, but especially dancing, when you get out of the whole, I'm dancing, it's this, and you just let your body move, which is, you know, a practice. It's so special. And I think it's a time I've also received downloads when I'm just letting my body, you know, move and dance. It's a way for spirit to connect, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that before too. There was a man I used to work with years ago, and I've been a DJ and a mobile DJ, which, you know, you go and do weddings and things like that. And he had some, I don't know how he came up with this, but it was so true. He said, when you're up in front of a group of people and you're talking to them, like, you know, the bride and groom or whatever, he says, you don't want to be sitting down. You want to be standing up. You want to be moving around. And that's when things come to you. And it's like, same thing with dancing. It's like you're opening up to something greater that can work through you. And I can't tell you how many times when I would do, I've done many, 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 many things. But when, the one trick I learned is like getting up in front of people. If you move around a little bit, it comes to you. This energy from source, this knowledge, this wisdom. And that's why I think people are more powerful. They can connect to something more when you move a little bit. Just a little bit, doesn't have to be a lot. But then I imagine dancing releases even more. And where does that come from, Becca?
Yes. You mean dancing in general, for my experience, or
where does that,
what do you mean?
Where does that energy you're picking up on, or
oh, okay,
the wisdom, if there's something connected to that, where's that coming from?
You know, I just believe it's, you know, it's spirit, you know, it's mm-hmm. the universe, it's all the things, it's God, you know, as we know, it's all one. And I try to trust that. And, you know, it's, as you were talking, especially how you're saying, you know, it can do so many things, like, you know, just the practice of shaking, you know, which I learned through dance and through those programs. And then later, just studying, you know, spirituality and stuff like that, I also learned the same practice of just shaking your body and what that can do to shake up your energy, release it, you know, also ground. It's fascinating.
Hmm. That is interesting. So you said you've studied with a lot of people. Do you want to talk a little bit about intuitive healing? What have you, because you have a certificate for that. What would you like to tell me about
yes.
that?
Yes. Well, I just felt this big call to study or go into a program involving, you know, intuition. I wanted to enhance it because basically what happened was I had, you know, the shakeup in life. You know, I had some health issues, but of course it's connected to emotional. Mm-hmm. And just like many, many people, you know, finding different doctors or trying to search for cause or anything like that and kind of coming up, you know, short, you do realize it's all within and it's all emotional. So, you know, so I had found a beautiful program. It looked so, and like I said, the name of the teacher is Catherine Schiff, and she just had this whole energetic view of how everything is connected and how everything is energy and how we can kind of use these tools to help, you know, the energy around us or help our space or just even putting energetic protection between us and someone else or just us as we go about our day. And then it goes a step further of, you know, assisting other people. And, you know, it's based on reading the chakras and just a lot of just tools, you know, it goes very deep, but it also goes very simple. And that's what I really like. Like I said, starting with just tools that can really just help anyone day to day, that can just change everything by doing these slight little things. And then what I'm working with her now, further into the classes, it's called Ascension Mastery. And now I'm going back to the threshold of birth and working from that space. So it's very, you know, it's diverse, it's complex. So yeah, I just really enjoy it and, you know, want to keep learning more. And there's some amazing people who have, you know, done this and studied this for many years. So it's great.
The ancient wisdom, I think, is returning for all of us. And it's been, whether you want to say it was buried away or it was deliberately kept from us, I guess it doesn't really matter, but this
Right.
is what you're talking about to me. Boy, that's like, man, I keep hearing that, and I so believe it. It's like we're going to go as a society, I hope, to where we won't need to go to hospitals to take medicines or even surgeries. There's going to come a time, I think, and maybe it's going to be fairly soon, where we will heal each other, or mainly even just ourselves, with energy consciousness. And we'll show others how to do it so they can do it for themselves. And we won't be dependent. You know how they say, well, we've got to have free health care. Well, maybe we don't. maybe down the road, not that far down the road, we'll solve that problem, because I don't think you'll ever solve it with everything that's going on, with all our systems that are set up. But wouldn't it be cool?
Right.
I mean, is that how you envision that people can heal themselves, Becca?
Definitely, you know, and I feel like, you know, as you said, you know, the time we're moving in, and as many people discuss how the energy is changing, you know, I do think it's just becoming more known and more recognized, and even just the natural health aspect, which is, you know, not even so far on that side, you can see more people taking interest in, oh, okay, what's more natural, you know, herbs I can take, or a natural way to this. So that's been nice, even just to see, you know, other people talking about that. So to me, that shows the shift already.
Yeah, there's no question. You definitely think that there's a shift going on in consciousness. When did you notice that?
You know, I really wasn't tuned in to it all. I, to be honest, this is how I could almost prove that it's true, was because how quick I went. It was like, obviously, me being involved in these things really helped, and me having this basic understanding of spirit and connection really helped. But, you know, obviously, many people have been knowing about this shift for many years. For me, I mean, it could be, you know, my age or whatever it is, I really didn't tune in until everything kind of blew up, you know, with the, we don't even want to name, you know, the pandemic, whatever it is. It did start from there for me, because I really tuned into, okay, yeah, at first I was caught up in the fear and all that. And I actually had a dear friend, Bobby, who shared with me so much information, and it was like, quick. I mean, I found so many people. It was all in the summer. It was just very fast to getting this deep understanding of, okay, this was coming in time. Many people have known about this for a very long time. And sure, it's definitely true, because, like I said, of how quick I basically, you know, got awakened, which, you know, the term is what it may be. You know, sometimes I don't like to use that, but it's just like, it's seeing. You know, it's seeing, mm-hmm. and seeing, yeah, structures of the world and how the world is run, and, you know, all of that stuff tied in. So it's so interesting.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. And it's fascinating that you say up to before the pandemic, you didn't see a lot of that stuff, you're saying, right?
Yeah, or I just wasn't, you know, as aware, or I wasn't.
You're too busy, probably.
You know.
Right? A lot of people.
That too.
I think it, this forced us, and we did a channeling, a couple of different channelings, where the pandemic was released by higher consciousness to slow us down. I think there were two reasons that came forward. One of them was maybe not in light. In some ways, you know, I believe there was, from the very beginning, this was being used against us. But also at the same time, it's nature. It was created in nature and higher consciousness. And so there were two different releases of it. And one of them was really to get people to wake up. This is our big wake-up call to move us towards what many are saying. Do you believe we're heading, like the Earth is heading towards like the fifth dimension? Have you heard that before? Do you feel
that? Yeah, definitely heard. I've heard all of that. You know, I feel the consciousness rising. I can say that for sure. You know, there is so much talk about the 5D, and I can connect to it in simple understanding. You know, when you do look at the 3D or the 5D. I can look at it through my experience, but as far as how the earth is heading, you know, I hope so. And a lot of people dear to me believe so, you know, so I do think it's moving.
Yes, you could definitely see, I see more and more people. It's, you know, they tell us whatever you hold on to is what you can see. So if you hold on to, if let's say, for example, the pandemic scared you and you're afraid, you're going to see more of that. And if you choose to let it go and see it, that there's, everything in life is always teaching us an opportunity to open a doorway, even the worst things that happen. And we can see something beyond that. And so that's pretty much the way I saw it from the very beginning. It helps that I've been down this road a long time. You know, it's like
right.
If I was younger, I'd be going, what's going on? I'm going to stick my head in the sand. But now I also know my purpose. You know, I've been living my life long enough. I know some of my past lives. I know what this mission, for me, what this mission is. And that's to bring awareness to help us, all of us, move towards a place of light, a place of love. Earth is going to become that again. That's what I see. And so, you know, part of one just small part of my mission is to help push, gently nudge that out there, those things that I am curious about and others are. And I know so many people, Becca, I don't know about you, but there are so many people, I don't even talk about them on my shows every day that I run into, that share a similar understanding and they're starting to wake up. Or are there many people I've met throughout my lifetime that were on a journey a long time ago and they knew we were kind of heading towards this date, this time when people would really start to embrace the light, I guess, the love that I think what Earth wants to become again. And it just gives me joy to talk to somebody like you that really sees that and really is excited about that, because more and more of us wake up. I think it doesn't have to be every person on the planet. It just reaches a certain tipping point. And you know, you can't go around yelling it to people. Hey, everybody, I love you. You know,
that right.
I love the world. We have to gently allow everybody their own sovereignty, I believe, to receive it or not. So you can only put it out there. And do you ever get in those conversations, Becca, and you really want to tell people because you're really excited?
Absolutely. I mean, and you put it beautifully, describing the time and you running into people. It's just wonderful. And yeah, you know, I had to really learn and transform my view when we were even back deeper into the times we were recently, and how I felt so strongly the opposite way than most people, you know, about what was going on. I wanted so badly to tell them and to come on, guys, and I'm sharing podcasts and sharing, you know, it's like too much, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have to let it happen on its own. But, you know, as far as everything else, the people around me, I just love, you know, sharing just what I've found. Like, I found like I mentioned before, the information that has come to me or that I've found helps me so much. And now I just trust that it's meant to be shared and that it will be and that I will share it. Whereas before, just kind of before all of this, you know, before I really dove in, and I was still into all this information, it was still so internal, but the separate part was, I want to help people. And I would get upset by that. I want to help people, but didn't know how, felt, you know, lost in that area. But yet I was learning all these things. And now I would say it's come together and I feel peace knowing that. Also what you said about my just own awakening and my own journey, now that realization of how it truly is energetically impacting, you know, the field around me. And so that's been really cool to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like, it's so nice. It's like when you talk to another person that, certainly I'm not on a recruiting mission. Those of you that listen to my show, we're not trying to,
right.
There's no cult going on. And I always tell people, disagree with me if you want, tell me that. Come on my show and give a different opinion. I don't want anybody to follow anybody. What I see happens a lot, Beck, and I don't know if you see this, is like there are some really wonderful people out there, but they start to get a following, and, you know, the ego creeps in on most everybody out there. And nobody should ever get you to make them you dependable on them. They should turn it back on you to where you're dependable and you trust yourself. And I see that a lot, unfortunately, in, you know, the new age metaphysical circles, if you want to call it that. And I love the people, and the people you that I'll have on again and again are the ones that try to turn it back so that people will develop it for themselves. It's like people are amazed by some people that have psychic abilities, and I'm going to ask you about yours in a moment. And then, and I think, well, don't you realize you also have your own, and you don't need to go to someone else to find the answers? I mean, it's nice. It helps. It's good to get some of that. But then people become dependent. Well, should I walk my cat today? It's like, well, for one, you probably don't walk your cat. Cat walks you, but... But, should, you know, you can learn those things for yourself. So let me ask you this, Becca. Have you noticed any strange things, or would you say psychic things, throughout the course of your life?
Well, when I was younger, I was having a lot of, you know, I was more in the dream world, very vivid dreams. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Pisces, and, you know, they always say that's a way... that Pisces kind of connects. It's a dreamier, you know, aspect, dreamier world, and, you know, positives and negatives to that. But I noticed that when I was young, and, you know, people said different things kind of around me or things like that, but it wasn't, I didn't have this big, profound experience. But, you know, throughout my life and just throughout, you know, coming into adulthood, I had a lot of, you know, just those moments where you're like, oh, this is a sign, or this is it, or, you know, those classic things where you're just talking about something and something comes up, but it was amplified and powerful. And sometimes it would happen all the time, and sometimes it was more spread out, and it was all a journey. But, you know, I never just easily had, you know, I would say very direct messages or anything like that. It was always something I had to work on and felt I needed to tap into. But especially recently, though, it is changing, you know, where I have had a couple people around me say a lot of the I was just thinking that, you know, when you say something, which is right, just which is interesting. And even if it's about small things, you know, I just still wonder,
right,
you know, what it is. I know it's still unfolding. So
what was it the other day? It's like this was actually a few months ago. My wife and I, we were at home, and she likes to watch golf, and I like to watch it too once in a while. It's just relaxing and peaceful, you know, if I'm not doing anything. So we had the TV on, and these guys were playing in Australia. I think it was Australia. And there was this bird making a lot of noise. And she said, well, what kind of bird is that? And I'm kind of a joker a little bit, you know. And I said, well, that's a kiwi bird or something like that. And she goes, really? And she still hasn't learned that every time I do that. But so the TV announcer says, well, that's the kiwi bird making that. And I was just like, I don't know where, I know where it came from.
That's amazing.
And it's like, because, you know, I do that with my mother-in-law too. She'll always look at me and go, really? I said, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I like to get people to laugh, because I think that's another part of who we are. And that brings us healing, and it's good energy. And, you know, when I do my podcast, I'm not nearly as much of a clown as I am when I'm also on the radio, because I've been doing radio for a long time. But I just like to bring out that joyful, just talking to you, I can hear it. You've got that joyful, childlike energy that it doesn't have to be, you know, at somebody's expense to laugh, but to just poke around and laugh at yourself and have fun with people a little bit. That's what I've done my whole career. And I just think that's such a good, powerful thing. It's that we, this energy we bring in. And I'm guessing you like to laugh a lot too, Becca, because I can hear you chuckling a little bit.
Yes, and you're funny, first of all. But also, yes, that's a powerful thing that you have that ability and also want to do that. You know, those two things together is a form of healing. You're absolutely right.
So there's many ways we can heal. You learned this intuitive healing, but it's really about having good energy around us. What are, do you know the steps? Can you tell us some of those steps?
You know, I think, I don't even know if there are as much steps as it just is this constant practice of adding in more of the things that feel light and less dense, you know, and that's through everything. It's through TV shows or through what you say or what you read or what you listen to, you know. So I like to start it there because to me that's, you know, the easiest thing we can do is we can control in our life, you know, just how we're consuming these things and all of that. And, you know, I, for a long time, I was feeling like this deep separation of, oh, I feel the maybe quote unquote 3D world, denser kind of just duality and all of that thing and social media, all that. I was feeling like I could feel that world and then I could feel maybe in language the 5D world or a lighter spiritual, you know, just knowingness and love. And then I almost felt for a while I could literally dip into both. And I still do. But now I kind of see that it's easier to flow and that it's not truly separate in one aspect. I've been listening to a lot of Krishna Das. He's a Kirtan music artist and just studied with a lot of amazing people. And, you know, where he's at in his life, I really like to listen to his words. But how he explains it as it's, you know, it's not separate. There is no, you know, really spiritual life, that it's only you. And basically, you're just planting seeds with every action. So
that is really, now what is that artist's name? Can I get that name, please?
Yes, Krishna, K-R-I-S-H-N-A, Das, D. And his music is healing and wonderful.
Is that more of a, and is that like a Far Eastern type of music, would you say? Is that Hindu or is that?
Yes, yeah, yes. It's based in, you know, I would say, yeah, it's based in Hinduism, but, you know, there's also the Buddhist chants, and he doesn't really see much different as he does. It's all connected.
Okay.
But that's, just listening to his words and, like I said, where he's at, he studied with this amazing guru of his called Maharaji.
Okay.
And so it's just been, yeah, it's just been another aspect for me to also listen to the music. You don't even have to chant, you know. If you just listen to the music, you feel a huge shift.
It lifts your, it just lifts your spirit. And you know, I think that's, they've done research, because I've been in radio for a long time, and I've read every article they've ever written, just about, you know. And there was research done on cattle and also unborn children with rock music, which I used to really like, but it's like, meow, 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 you know, it's pretty loud and can be, some of it can be negative. And they found that cattle didn't do so well when heavy metal music was played. The milk production went way down. And then when they played classical music, the cattle just started pumping out the milk. And then the same with children. They said if you played classical music for them when they were still in the womb, they had a much better chance of becoming, like, their brain developing and being more intelligent. And, or not that intelligence, you know, I can't define, you know, it's just our brain is open more and it allows us to see things more clear. That's how I would define that. And so, and I would say the same thing with some of this Far Eastern music sounds and the native music sounds. And these are all ancient sounds that we're tapping back into. And somebody explained it to me this way. It's like, these are the sounds that exist in the further realms, the higher realms. And they're really meant to raise your vibration. And so when you talk about this, this is awesome. I'm going to go look this up because...
Definitely. Yes.
And maybe I'll even post a link when we get done with this interview so people can, you know, go listen to it for themselves. I'm all about that. Did you ever try using tones? Did you ever try using certain types of tones, like hertz frequencies?
Yeah, like binaural beats. I actually, you know, I listen to those actually every night when I sleep, or I'll fall asleep to a meditation, and just on YouTube, you know, it's very simple, you know, to just type it in and either what chakra you need to balance or anything like that. So there's a lot we can do in that area. And I think that that's really not so overwhelming, you know, to think, oh, I got to tap in and do all these things and meditate.
Right.
It's like,
no,
like just try to start small, right?
Start somewhere. I think a lot of people get frustrated, you know, like, let's say, for example, people that have never seen spirits or whatever, had interaction, and they give up. Or people that maybe haven't had a psychic moment. I mean, when I was younger, I did that too. You know, I gave up. And so,
right.
But then as I just allowed it to happen, of course, I went to some events probably that opened up my chakras and Native American things and stuff like that. I think sometimes you go to certain things and you attend them and it can open the doorway to a lot of things. I just know a lot of things happened to me after I went to the lodge, which is out in Rapid River in Upper Michigan. And I'd start like spiraling. But also I think because things were opening more and I was more open and believing it, it just continued to go on and go on. And now, like I said in an email to you, I see these animals all the time. And I know that it's spirit's way. And now that I know what they mean, each of us gets that every day. We just don't realize it, I think, that... I don't know if you see any animals out there in Gaylord when you're out in the cabin. Do you notice any around?
Yes. Yes. And I have to tell you, just 2 days ago, my dad had bought a bit more land that he was so excited about. I mean, this is his special. And, you know, he hasn't been very much into spiritual, but he loves, you know, the Native American, the Indian, the land, that's how he connects, you know, so it's his way. And so he's kind of made this land that for him. So it was the first time me and my brother and my parents were there all together. And we were just having fun. We were actually snowmobiling, being loud, all that. And then two bull elks walk by right in front of us, and at the exact same time, two eagles fly overhead.
Wow.
It was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had because of, like I said, the knowingness of that was the first time we were there, how much it meant to all of us. So yes, it's powerful.
Did you even just look up what the elk might stand for?
Yes, I was looking it up. I didn't look deep enough into it, but you know, it's because I was like, okay, well, what does this mean, the two and the two together? That's where I still need to do some research. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
And you know, it can depend on the direction that they're going as well. Do you know which direction they're going?
Right.
Which way?
I know exactly, I remember the way, so I'll have to see what direction that was.
Okay.
Where I was facing.
Okay, we can I'd be curious to see, because I know that elk are majestic creatures, so there's a majesticness to who they, you know, what they are, especially the male. And I know with the eagle, you know, there's many, many meanings. It doesn't have to be one, you know. But mostly when you see an eagle, it's really about an awakening, especially if you saw a couple of them. That is one of the deepest awakenings that a person can have, is to see, have that connection with the bald eagle. Now, also, you had four of them, and there's four of you, right?
Oh, yes. You know what? I didn't even think about that, TJ. That's awesome.
Well, and then what I was going to say next is that every one of us has a spirit animal guide. Some, you know, we probably have more than one. But I know mine is a bear and maybe an eagle. And the reason I know that is that I dreamed about bears when I was a kid. They chased me my whole life in dreams, not in real life, because that would have scared the hell out of me. But it's like they were chasing me, and I would close a door in the old house run upstairs, and they'd open the door, and I'd go crawl out the window on the top of the roof and close the window down, and he'd lift it up, and he just kept chasing me in circles like that. And it's like, well, because he was trying to catch me. He was trying to tell me something. I didn't know that as a four-year-old kid or five-year-old kid. And then when I met my native friends, they brought up my native name, Macadeus in Mequa, which is Blackstone Bear. And if you know, from what they tell me about the bear is that the bear goes into hibernation in reality. But spiritually what it means is that it takes things in and then it comes out of its den later and releases those things. So what I've been doing my whole life is I take all this information in, I think about it, and then I release it. And that's kind of my job, you know, to do that. And so what I would say with... And it was just fascinating how he told me that name without even knowing what I'd gone through in my lifetime experiences, how he gave me that. Because that's kind of the ritual at the end of the night is that if you stayed through the whole thing and everybody got to say their prayer and talk and whatever, it was really cool, drumming and everything. And you would be given your name and if something special would happen. And it was like, there's more to the story. I won't go into all of it right now. So you saw four of them, and there's a chance that each one was representing an animal spirit guide, is what I'm thinking, what my intuition might be.
Absolutely.
And so...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just saying that definitely has to be it. And it's all the things, yeah, and my dad putting, you know, kind of... gathering more, you know, Indian, and just, well, mainly just, yeah, Native American books and just getting more into spirit guides and animal spirits. It's just so cool, you know, because it's like, it's always great to see it for me, but I'm at the point where it's like, oh, I believe it. I'm in, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. to have my family see that more is really special.
That is awesome. And, you know, they're on their own journey as well. And so they're,
right.
you know, and who knows how many other times you guys have all kind of done this thing before. Or maybe you haven't been together before in other times. But I mean, there's probably a good chance usually. So maybe this is just helping.
Oh, yeah.
This is just helping you remember. And maybe you were the one that kind of signed up for this role, you know, to kind of say, hey, look, everybody.
Right, right.
That's really cool. When did you see the elk and the eagle?
It was literally 2 days ago. It was just in the middle of the day. And like I said, we had just been snowmobiling, making, you know, a bunch of noise, starting a fire. And it's funny because my oldest brother, who wasn't there with us, the boys in the family had just, you know, started to really hunt and get into that aspect. And my oldest brother's like, don't anybody even ride a bike or walk around there when he's, you know, wanting to hunt. And so just that, to see that, to make all that noise and these beautiful creatures still come is just so cool. But they knew we weren't, you know, I think they felt the energy. We were not obviously, you know, in any way going to harm them. So.
Yeah, well, I think also they're drawn to it, and sometimes it might not even actually be real animals. It could be a spirit animal. There's a friend of mine, Frank, who just talked to me about 2 weeks ago. He told me about, he lives down in Florida, but he's not far from, I think, Daytona Beach. But he lives in a kind of remote area at the end of a block, and it's kind of wooded around him, and it's kind of butts up to some native land or some other land, and so he was telling me the story. He's got it. It's all gated off. And he heard the alarm go off on his property. And he went up there to look, and he didn't see anything. And his mom's passed away, and she's been doing all kinds of creepy, as he would call it, creepy things. But it's not. It's love, you know. But letting herself, she's letting him know she's there. And so... he thought, oh, is that mom again? Jeez, oh, man. And so he goes out there, and Frank's kind of a card. He's really a goofy dude. And he walks back, gets inside the gate, and he turns around, and he sees a deer. Now, Frank says he's 6'5". This deer, which was a doe, was as tall, if not bigger. Now, I don't recall ever seeing a doe at the top of its head really that big. And he came to believe, and some friends who were psychics told him, yeah, that wasn't an actual doe that you saw. That was your animal. That was an animal spirit guide making its presence known. And so I don't know if that was the case with you. Could be. I guess you'll have to dwell on that a bit, and maybe something. It doesn't really matter. They're always around us, guiding
right.
us. And I wish, you know, I wish I'd have known this when I was younger, because I can't tell you how many times animals. I didn't stop to think about it. Ooh, and I, but they might have been giving me signs, warning me, "Don't drive your car in; you're going to get hit." You know, they were trying to tell me, but here I'm just going, "I wonder what that means." And so we've lost touch of these ancient teachings, this great wisdom that has been around the planet forever.
Right.
So that's cool. Were you guys thinking anything in general? Did you ask the universe any questions for why maybe these eagles would have showed up? Do you recall any of that prior to that?
I think, you know, I really feel that it might be just the fact that we, and, you know, and yeah, my brother, you know, we're adults and we have our partners and stuff like that, but we really wanted to take the time for it to be just us, and we knew it meant, you know, just a lot to all of us. And I think it just had a lot to do with connection. And specifically, I mean, it's the best thing. I mean, as you know, you see it, to see eagles, you know, to get to see them up here in northern Michigan is amazing. And mm-hmm. so when my mom sees them, she loves it. It's one of mm-hmm. It's her all-time favorite to see eagles. And same with elk, you know, we don't, that's one thing, you know, we really have been seeing, especially downstate. So I do think it was just that special, you know, being in the woods, being together, connection, and just trusting that there's so much more and that it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's interesting because, you know, and that's what, you know, that's why I ask so many questions, because sometimes I think they just show themselves. Hello. It's like I told you the bear, I didn't finish the story.
Right.
I forgot the bear story. So my wife and I, we'd dated a long time, and I finally caved in. It's like I was leery to get married. I got married once before a long time ago, so I was leery to do it again. It took me a long time. Long story short, we go to Vegas, we get married out there, we come back, and we hold a party. A black bear, which I have never seen since. Now, I live pretty close to where the woods are. I'm off the highway maybe 100 yards. But then the woods are all kind of behind me, and there's farms. So it's on a beginning of a dead-end road. And I love it because I get everything through my yard, all these animals. But I've only seen a bear one time, and it was on the day of our wedding reception. And it's like, what are the odds of that?
Wow.
You know, we had all these people over. It was an outdoor thing. We got some tents, and we got some porta-potties, and we had everything you wanted, food and beverages, music and everything. It was just a good time. There was a lot of love. And to me, it was just showing, the bear was showing me you're doing the right thing and this is where you're meant to be. Because we both debated whether or not we were going to live 15 minutes outside of Escanaba, where I do the show.
Right.
And I wanted to move back in the country, but we drove by it and we just said, wow, this feels like home. And so I think I was guided to be there, you know, in that location.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so special. I love that.
And it's because of that location I've had all these amazing animal things go on. Even things I would say are not animal are more, I don't know, the fairy realm. Can I say the fairy realm? You're familiar with that at all, Becca?
Yes, yes, yes.
So I had something from the fairy realm knock on my door one day. And I had laid down a little bit because I was tired. I sometimes take a short little nap. I get up real early. And then I was thinking I was asleep. And I thought, I don't think there was anybody there. I went and looked and nobody's on my deck. And you couldn't get off my deck and run down my road fast enough without me just seeing you, you know. And I would hear you running mm-hmm. off my deck. So then about a week later, I was awake this time. I knew I was awake. And somebody again rapped on the door. but they were invisible because I ran to the door and I looked and there was nobody there. And then it was about a month later that my friend Joy was working on me. She was doing some energy work and she said, "Oh, there's a little person here that wants to do some energy work on you." And she said, "Is that okay?" And I said, "Sure." And I said, "Hey, is this guy, does he have anything to do with the knock on the door?" And she goes, "Yeah, he's laughing. He's laughing. He was just getting your attention." Something invisible was there. I don't know what it was, but something knocked on my door. And there's no way it could have just taken off like that without me. Because I just jumped. Anyway, that's the kind of things that go on, I think. And the more you delve into nature and open your heart to those things, they can happen anywhere, you know, I think.
Right.
But especially like where you're out in Gaylord. Now, you said you've been in Upper Michigan. Have you been, what places have you gone up here?
Yeah, spent a lot of time around here and in Petoskey. Just spent, you know, many summers and times there. And yeah, and I told you I got to explore the UP for the first time this summer to truly spend some time. And, you know, I kind of almost, I went all the way to the Porcupine Mountain. So
wow.
I was like, I wanted to get up. Yeah, I wanted to see it and kind of come down. We just didn't hit the right side yet, you know. But it was great. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time up here. And it does. And, you know, actually, I remember listening to a podcast of yours, and you were mentioning about, you know, different energy of nature and how you basically said, you know, when you are surrounded in a city, that there still is vibration, you know, of a building or something like that, but it's so much slower. And that in nature, that everything is living and, you know, a bit more high vibrational, it's easier to connect to God. And I loved when you said that because I was like, yes, that's so true.
That's awesome. I'm glad you feel that way. I think a lot of people do, yeah. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I guess you can connect with God anywhere because
right.
God is in all things. Even buildings that we make, we think, well, these are inanimate objects. Well, where did the substance come from them? So if this is all part of God's creation, even if we turn it into plastic, you know, plastics, which nobody likes anymore, we're getting away from that. Good, but I'm still saying that's part of, there's God's energy in all of that stuff. My native friend from Rapid River said to me, he says, if you want to gain wisdom, go talk to a rock. And I said, really? And he said,
I love that.
And it's like, because they've been around for thousands of years. He kind of talked like, because TJ, they've been around for thousands of years. And I thought, well, yeah. You know, but I never would have thought that. That when I was younger, it's like, it has to be in everything, right? Everything. So if you have a vehicle, do you ever notice this? And your vehicle maybe is starting to have some issues. If you're nice to your vehicle, it doesn't have as many problems. Or even a computer, you ever notice it? Like, there's a guy I work with, bless his heart. I love him dearly. But he yells at his computer on a daily basis. And it's like, he's the one that has a lot of computer problems, you know? And the people that are more gentle with the things around them, they don't break down as much.
Definitely, because it's all energy, mm-hmm. right? You know, that's the way I see it.
Absolutely.
So, yes.
So tell me what you, if there's anything you'd like to tell me about, like, natural healing. We talked about intuitive healing. What do you know?
Yeah.
Is there something you'd like to share with people? Maybe it'll enlighten people?
Well, you know, I just think it has been fascinating. It's like I knew that there was natural ways for so many things, but to really learn that there is natural, you know, ways for everything is amazing.
Mm.
And sometimes it really only takes a Google search. You know, I mean, I went through obviously some, you know, training and studying, but it's like just to even be open to the fact that there's a natural possibility, I think is the biggest key.
Mm-hmm.
Because, people just don't know, or, you know, they think, I got to clean this, I got to spray Lysol. You know, they just don't think, oh, I could just use, you know, some essential oils and baking soda or whatever it is, you know. It's that how much you can help your body by making these choices. And, you know, as I said, it's all connected. So this side of things, you know, it helps the intuitive side helps the other, you know, in my eyes. So making those choices are a part of, you know, raising your vibration, because it's helping you. And, you know, as obviously medical has its place, and I think I know how you feel. I think we feel similar about that. But yeah, there is a natural thing for everything. The herbs that you can do, even just teas, you know, teas are, it's one of my favorite things, but that's just about one of the easiest things you could buy at the store and realize, oh, wow, this can help me with all the things. I don't need to just take that pill or that pill for my stomach or whatever it is.
Do you have anything specific that you would recommend that you've tried? And we're not telling people to, don't get us wrong, we're not going to, maybe recommend is not the word, but if you would just share, because this is what I love. I talk to everybody that I come across, and most of those conversations don't make it onto my podcast. But there's so much wisdom that people have learned on their own if we just shared all of it. So is there a specific thing you use or like?
Yes. I mean, I use so many different things at different times, but what's coming to me right now to share is a great balancing herb is Tulsi. Tulsi can be mixed with other things, but it's in itself, you could, like I said, buy it at the store. It's, you know, it's brings your body to homeostasis, basically. So it kind of gives you what you need. If you're, you know, really low energy, it kind of brings your energy up and vice versa. So that is one that I would really look into or just do some research on to see if it could fit and helps with a lot of imbalances, anxiety and things like that. And another is St. John's Wort, classic. It's like for depression and anxiety, it's helped me so much. And I had a real magical experience the first time I actually went out and foraged St. John's Wort and made it into a tea. That was, I noticed a true, you know, difference in the way it was into my body. So, you know, I'm trying to always connect more with that. But those two herbs are magic. And you mentioned it before, the oil of oregano. Like that for the bigger issues, for the viral issues, is outstanding. So there's, yeah, there's so many things. But yeah, those are definitely three good ones that I would recommend at this time.
So the first one, how do you spell that one?
T-U-L-F-I.
T-U-L-F-I. Okay, great.
S-I, yeah. T-U-L-S-I.
I'm sorry.
No, no worries. See, that's a great, yeah.
So it's like Tulsa, but like Tulsa, Oklahoma, but Tulsi. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And
of
then,
course. No, it's interesting.
Tell me about the N-cannabinoid. Can you tell me a little?
I love it.
Tell me a little bit about how. What have you studied with that? Because that's interesting.
Yeah. So the endocannabinoid system is, you know, the system we have in all of our bodies that's been, you know, studied as far as why do we have it there in connection to cannabis and things like that. So mainly my interest was, I was fascinated with cannabis. I was, you know, the what it is, what it does for different people, how each person feels so strongly different about this plant. You know, it just, it fascinated me. So I definitely wanted to dive in deeper. Also wanted to learn more about my own experiences. So, you know, now I just got to a point where I'm realizing how it can truly help people as far as it can be held, you know, in the same line as ayahuasca. you know, that this is a sacred plant medicine, and with it being so, you know, commercialized at this time, it's so important to get this information out about how best we could actually use it to our benefit instead of just, you know, using it. And there was a book I read called Cannabis and Spirituality by Stephen Gray, which kind of changed my whole life, honestly. This view of the sacred plant and kind of using it to truly see and honoring the plant itself, you know, and thinking of maybe when you're consuming it that you're actually giving the plant a body to explore. It's you know, there's different views. But, you know, just that cutting it down in use and just truly using it for these special things, like how it can be a huge part of the awakening process. And then there's a whole different aspect, which is medical, you know, which is why I wanted to study more, because I got to a point where I was like, oh, no one should use this for anything but pure meditation, creativity, and clarity. You know, it was like, I don't even like the whole social setting, you know, at this point and all that. I've gone a lot of different places with it. But the medical side is astounding to learn the things it was prescribed for before, you know, everything happened, before the prohibition, you know, before it got its bad name. It was literally prescribed for everything. And that's awesome. So it's just, you know, it's an alternative for people. It's something that people can explore if it is for the medical, but for someone like me, where I do have medical things, but it's not something I am treating, you know, I have to be diligent. I have to be disciplined with things like that. And for me, it's changed so much because it's something I like to explore with my creativity and all that. So it's just an ever unfolding journey, but it's great to learn that it's more than just, also, you go buy it at the store. It has a lot to do with the compounds, the terpenes. It's fascinating. So I hope that I can continue to learn, because the amount of people interested in cannabis is nowhere, you know, with the side of people that actually know about it, you know, enough to truly recommend. So I'm hoping that that can
a lot
be
of people
me,
are...
and then I can...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Becca, most people I know would just want to get wasted. That are if they, now you're talking about, what about the CBD oil? How do you feel about that?
I think that's great. You know, a different, you know, part of the cannabis plant's wonderful with the non-psychoactive effects. And, well, you know, there's some language around that. That's not, but basically, it's great. I think it's a wonderful aspect for inflammation and all the side of things that, you know, the information is out there that people know about it. But yeah, I still understand though. It's a view that is, it's hard to shake. You know, I've had my mom, you know, I've had to come a long way. You know, she saw a lot of her friends, you know, have it lead to other horrible things. So I respect that experience. And, you know, just try to balance it all with how I am studying and spreading the information. And like I said, respecting everyone's view. It's interesting.
You know, back in the day when I used to smoke the weed, smoke the weed when I was like a teenager, it did seem to open up. And we always said that to each other. It's like, wow, I can't believe where those thoughts came from. And so but it also made us really paranoid, probably because it was illegal back then. And it also made me want to eat a lot of Doritos. I love Doritos, but when I smoked that, I think the stock in Doritos went really way up that year. But I didn't mind it at all. I just moved away from that because... And I'm not against people using that, especially to achieve an altered state. But I've had people on talking about the CBD oil, and I've actually used recently the CBD cream. It's like a pain cream, and it really works.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So
great.
I haven't had a lot of experience with that. I have friends that tell me that they believe that there's different blends of marijuana. that can heal you, can even clear out your lungs. They say, well, smoking it, that can't be good for you. He says, no, it actually can help clear out your lungs. So I'm still very open to all the possibilities. You think something that's natural probably has a good, there's a good chance that it's here for a reason, you know, for all of us.
Right. Yes, I definitely agree. And like you were saying about, when we're talking about the music, you know, grow, like the process of the cultivation and growing this plant, it has everything to do with the attitude of the person, the music they play, their intention, you know, it all goes into it. And then same with when you're about to consume, what is your intention? Are you setting that and are you clear with it? You know, and is it, if it is just to escape, you know, that's what you're going to get. And it's interesting, the things about the paranoia, and because it is opening up this huge state and it's tough to see all at once, especially in higher doses. So, yeah, it's a fascinating thing for each person to possibly look into or explore.
Well, that's fascinating. I don't think I've really had a conversation with somebody in all the years I've been doing that, other than my burnout friends.
Right, right. Because that's how it was. Yeah.
Dude, are you going to smoke that all night? This is good stuff. And we thought it was good stuff, and it was probably really horrible stuff back then. And we'd be, I'm wasted. Yeah, man, I'm wasted. And so then we said, what do you got to eat? You know, that would be kind of, we were, you know, of a lower vibration when I was a teenager.
Right, and that was, right, that was the thing. You know, that's how it was represented. And that's a part of the reason I want to share this, is because people just don't know that it can be this.
It could be something,
you
much
know,
more.
And so if you are,
go ahead.
Sorry. No, I just mean, if you are just, you know, that's how it is. You know, you smoke with your friends, you smoke a lot, you don't know, you know, and then if you just maybe just open up or know that you can just take, you know, two hits and take some deep breaths, and, you know, it can change everything. So.
So moving on to, I guess we're going to, you know, be ready to wrap this up, but you're more than welcome to come back on whenever you'd like, if you want, because I think what you've shared today is really fascinating. It's amazing what every person has within them, huh?
Right. No, definitely. I would love to come back on, and I'm definitely working on a couple of different projects and business to hopefully bring here to Michigan. So I'll definitely keep in touch with you about that.
Absolutely. I think it's just really cool that, have you found a lot of other people that you've connected with in the Detroit area? Have you met many people?
Yes. Just you know, fairly recently, too, the universe helped me align with some people that had a similar vision for what I wanted to create. So it's been really special. Yeah, I'm glad.
And then, like, when you go to places like Gaylord, do you know any of the people around there? Have you met any folks?
You know, I really haven't, because I'm always pretty tucked in up here. I mean, everyone's very nice, and the people that live around us are very kind. So that's nice. But, yeah, I haven't connected on a deeper level with people around here. But, you know, but the people are awesome, especially, you know, I've noticed in Petoskey, a lot of people, you know, moved back from Chicago or moved back from these different places and wanted to come back. So I've had a lot of fun getting to know some folks. Yeah.
You find that people like in these smaller places surrounded by natural surroundings, that they're more approachable or more friendly or more pleasant. You know, when I've gone to the cities, I'm not much of a city person. You try to say, I'm so used to saying hi to people and being friendly to people, because that's what you live with. And if you do that in Detroit, you I don't know if that's always a good idea. It depends where you're at, right?
Yeah, I do think it depends where you're at. I think it just totally depends, you know, person to person, because a lot of people said so much stuff about, you know, LA and California, of course, but it was like, I also happen to find the biggest healing community I ever found, you know, so it's just, you just never know.
It's what you believe, what you draw in, I guess, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
Well, it's a real pleasure talking to you, Becca Kleba. She's from Detroit, Michigan, and currently staying in Gaylord with her family. How long is that excursion going to go?
Probably just, to right after the new year.
Well, good for you. That's nice to let go of all that and just have fun and enjoy, especially now. Are you concerned about COVID? Is that something that's concerning you?
It's not actually, I got to a place with it where, as we can't have an energy that will attract it, and so I've just, but I went through the process, like I think many people did, of these different emotions, but I feel now that I've, come to a more steady place with it.
And then what about all the other chaos that's going on, not just in our own country, but in the world? How do you deal with that?
I am just at this point of trying to tap into total trust. And as we talked about, my own process of coming to light, realization of love, and staying in the highest vibration that I can, just trusting that that's doing what it needs to do for everything rippling out as far as the world, and just trying to constantly just send healing, to, or just imagining a gold light seeping through the globe, anything we can do because it's all energy. So I'm just trying to trust that in my own little world, it's good,
Well, I think you should be doing a podcast.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Becca. I appreciate you talking to me. I certainly send you love and light and joy, and we will talk again soon.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, TJ.